I remember my mom calling it the baby blues when it happened to me, and I was shocked and I wasn't prepared for all the emotions that go along with it. And in the last week, I feel like we keep hearing a lot about postpartum depression, psychosis, the baby blues, and how it's affected so many people that are in the news right now. Joining us is Dr. Shoshana Bennett. You can find her online at drshosh.com, drshosh.com. She's a clinical psychologist, and she's a leading mental health expert. This is what you do, is you talk to women about postpartum depression, how to spot it, what it is, and how to get by with it.
That is what I do every day. And, you know, this came from my personal experience. So I know what it feels like from the inside to be really devastated and not to know where to go, what was happening with me.
Doctor, I'm just going to be real with you. As a guy, like, I mean, there's plenty of times that I can't pick up on the vibe or the mood or exactly what my wife is trying to communicate to me. So just being, you know, somebody out here who's watching all that's going on recently in the news, like, how can we be the person that can be a help and not a burden, right? Like, what are the signs we should be looking for with this? And what do you do when you see them?
You know, I'd like to, wonderful question, thank you. I'd like to differentiate, if I may, between the blues, postpartum depression, and postpartum psychosis.
Yes.
May I?
Yeah, please.
Absolutely.
Do.
Okay. Blues is normal. We expect that. Most new moms have the blues. These are mild symptoms, mild ups and downs. And they should be gone by about two, maybe out, at the outset, 3 weeks postpartum. Okay, if it keeps going, it might be a mild postpartum depression, but that's all normal stuff. Postpartum depression, which could happen immediately, as it did in my case, or it could be the blues that don't go away or that spiral down into something more severe. This is the most common complication of childbearing. We're talking 1 in 7, about 15% of new moms. And I don't want anybody to be afraid of this. This is 100% treatable. By the way, so is psychosis, but we'll talk about that in a moment. I don't want anybody suffering in silence or being afraid. Reach out and get the proper help, somebody who's been trained. What you're looking for, and certainly all new moms need support, even those going through the normal baby blues. What you're looking for with postpartum depression is a decrease in appetite often. Is she having difficulty sleeping at nighttime, even when she's got the ability in between feedings to sleep? She might be obsessing, unable to let go of worries. She might be angry. I mean, we're talking, again, more severe. These symptoms get in the way of her daily life or her ability to sleep at nighttime. She's not going to be interested in doing the things she used to be interested in. So these are the kinds of things. It's not a complete list, but these are often the things that you're looking for. Low self-esteem. So if partners, friends, coworkers are listening to her say things like, my baby doesn't like me, or she's rejecting my milk, or anybody can do this better than I can. Mm-hmm. You know, if her self-esteem is low, that's not normal for a new mom. So these are the kinds of things you want to listen for. She might look totally normal. So don't anybody count on being able to tell if she's suffering just because she looks like she's doing okay. You got to ask her. You know, how are you? You know, baby's doing great. How are you doing? Are you able to sleep at nighttime? How's your appetite? You know, if you see her pacing or worried or going from one worry to the next, and reassurance doesn't relieve the worry, or she jumps from thing to thing to thing. Yes, 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 but there's this, but there's this. Oh, no, oh, no. That's not normal. She needs some help. Again, don't be alarmist, you know, but just make sure that you find somebody who is a perinatal specialist, because this is a specialty and it's 100% treatable, as I mentioned. So nothing to worry about. But again, nobody should be suffering in silence.
Yeah, it's a tough thing when you're going through it, because you don't even realize that you're going through it. You just don't know what's wrong with you, because you're supposed to be so happy and you're supposed to be celebratory. Right. You just have this beautiful baby. And I remember, it's interesting because I felt so guilty that I had no connection to my baby when she was born. It was like a stranger. And I always thought, what's wrong with me? Why don't I have that instant bond with my baby like everybody talks about? And it's so funny because when I meet a new mom and they ask for advice, I say, don't get upset if you don't have that immediate bond.
That's right.
I was told, and I don't know if this is a lie, I can't wait to ask you, that it's because one of the reasons why I had all this is because I had a C-section. And because that's not like the natural body, that happens more often than not.
You know, I really, in my work, I've been doing this for over four decades at this point. There are many, many ways, but that's not going to get in the way of bonding as long as certain things happen. But if a mom is thinking that, oh no, I had a C-section, and that means the bonding is going to be messed up, that is more what gets in the way than the actual natural bonding. Because bonding can happen no matter what. A mom who adopts can also bond just great. Bonding is a process that happens over time. You know, we're not geese. You know, I mean, it's not like imprinting where immediately baby pops out and we're instantly bonded. So it's a process, and it will happen no matter how we give birth. And bonding sometimes happens great, frankly, when there's a postpartum depression happening. Sometimes it's difficult and sometimes it isn't. So that isn't always a way to tell if a mom has postpartum depression or not. But I'm so glad you raised one of the biggest myths of motherhood. Like, this is always going to be instantaneously joyous when this stranger pops out of us, you know? So even without a postpartum depression, sometimes we're expecting that we're going to be instantaneously in love, which sometimes happens.
Right.
But when you expect something and then it doesn't happen, that's when women get really worried. Like, what's wrong with me? Am I abnormal? But again, that's one of the myths.
Yeah. For me, it was my first time when I had the whole issue with the baby blues and I got sick. I had postpartum eclampsia and I had no connection with my older daughter when I was born, and it was terrifying. And then when I had my second daughter years later, I had that instantaneous bond, and I'm like, oh, that's what people are talking about. So it's like, you don't know what you're opening up the minute that baby is born. It's like you're unlocking something, and it's a big mystery.
Mm. You're absolutely right. And every time we deliver, frankly, every pregnancy is different.
Right.
Every postpartum experience is different. Every labor and delivery can be different. So yeah, we don't do it the same way every time. So you're absolutely right. Just quickly, I did promise to talk about postpartum psychosis and how different that is from the very common postpartum depression. Postpartum psychosis is very rare, 1 to 2 per 1,000 women. When it happens, yes, it is a medical emergency, but and suicide is the biggest risk. You know, when women are just feeling hopeless and they're feeling like this is the rest of their life, that can certainly. But I want to make it very, very different. Differentiate. These are completely different disorders. Postpartum depression is the common one. Postpartum psychosis very rarely happens. And that woman is hallucinating and she's delusional. She's not in our reality. She is hearing things other people don't hear. She is seeing things other people don't see. She is often suddenly talking about religion, the devil, God, you know, even if she hasn't been particularly religious before. So I really wanted to set that very much apart from our main topic of postpartum depression.
Right, because, you know, Lindsay Clancy, everybody is so deep into this case, and there's the conspiracies and that. But this is a woman that asked for help. She asked for help many times. And in a situation like this, if you're one of the people that she says, I need help, what do you do to help her?
Well, everybody let her down, frankly. I mean, the medical community absolutely let her down. She needed a full assessment, first of all, by a perinatal specialist, by a psychiatrist, by a therapist who has been trained in the perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. It's not enough just to go to a good therapist or a good doctor. This is a specialty. So it's right from the get-go, she did not get the help that she needed, and all of this could have been avoided. And it's just so, so very sad because she was let down big time by socially and also professionally.
So let's say a coworker comes up to you and just went through all this and they say, listen, I'm having a really hard time. As the person that's getting that information, what do you do with it? Where do you go? Who do you say, okay, I'm going to set you up with this person? Because she called a helpline and they told her if she didn't have a plan that they couldn't help her. Like, to me, that's the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard in my entire life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can certainly go to Postpartum Support International, which is postpartum.net. You can go to my website. You reach out to a specialist. You help her. Yes, you ask her, has she spoken with anybody? Does she have a specialist? Would she like some help finding somebody? Or just go find her. Because often when somebody is in that state, they don't have the wherewithal to make that call or to go on the internet. And frankly, on the internet is sometimes the worst place to go unless you know exactly where you're going. It can add to anxiety a big time. So yeah, you go to those places. You go to my website or you go to somebody I've trained or you go to postpartum.net and you find somebody who has been specifically trained in the perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. And then you follow up with her. How was your appointment? Is there anything I can do to support you? You know, who is there giving you social support other than me, you know, the coworker? Who is helping you physically? Who's cleaning your bathroom or babysitting for you so you get some time for yourself? I mean, there are some general steps to a really good wellness strategy, and that whatever professional she's working with should help her with that wellness strategy, because most women, when they get that really good plan of action to get well, they do great, and often without medication. If they need medication, that's fine, but they just go on with their happy life once they have certain things in order. Sometimes some uninterrupted nighttime sleep. So that's a huge factor in postpartum depression and anxiety. So getting 5 hours of uninterrupted sleep, yes, you can do that even when you're breastfeeding. And I help clients with this all the time. Getting some exercise, just something to oxygenate her brain and help her mood and keep her serotonin up where it needs to be. You know, who does she have to lean on? Who does she have to be real with? Who are her mentors? Nutrition. Very important, you know, is she making time for herself and to eat the right things, right? So one of the things you can ask her is, how's your appetite? If she's saying that her appetite is decreased or she's just not interested in food, you know, ruling out some other physiological things that could be happening, it could be depression or anxiety. So that's one screening question that a loved one can ask. You know, and again, are you able to sleep at nighttime when you get the chance to sleep? If she's got any insomnia at all, any difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, when she's got the chance, she needs some help.
That's all good stuff, right?
Those are some of the things you want to say and be there. Follow through with her. Follow up with her. Don't just let it go. You know, you're talking about the coworker. You know, just ask her, how was that appointment? Is there anything I can do to support you? Would you like me to check in with you every other day and just ask you how you're doing? Things like that.
Dr. Shoshana Bennett, it's all good advice. Help each other out. You can find her online at drshosh.com, drshosh.com. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Absolutely a pleasure. Thank you.